Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight 450 for comics originally released on March 23rd, 2016. Now, starting us off in DC is Harley Quinn number 26. It's a $3.99 book. Unsurprisingly, it's by DC. This is, of course, one of their better-selling titles. It is written by Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti. We have art this time around by John Timms and Chad Hardin. Not quite sure how they split the work on this. It's great art kind of all the way around. This struck me as kind of sort of like a repositioning issue, if you will, acting kind of as a breather between story arcs and kind of reasserting the status quo for Harley. There weren't really any major status quo changes, but it kind of sets things up for kind of newer readers who, you know, may not have followed the title for the whole, you know, 26-issue run. I mean, no, that's a really long run these days. But it just kind of, frankly, it jumps around a lot. It covers a lot of ground, but it didn't feel incredibly focused for me as kind of a reader. It's like, yeah, I've followed all this. I kind of know all this. But I think they were trying to give a point for readers, again, newer to the book, to get a sense of, oh, that's what's going on with this. I get it.
And they also took the time to stop and do a little preaching at us about to make sure we understand that cosplay is not consent. And I thought that was nice. For them to stop and do that. It got a little heavy-handed, but, you know, I see what they're doing.
Well, I like how they also paused at one point to pitch the new series with Harley's Gang of Harleys.
Yeah.
And also to change her hairstyle to be, as she phrased it, more cinematic, kind of tying in with the upcoming Suicide Squad appearance of the character.
Yeah, that was clever.
And I suspect this entire arc will be hitting trade right around the time that movie comes out. So I thought they covered some good ground. I thought it was a generally good issue and probably a decent jumping on point, but it was frankly not one of my favorite issues of the series. But again, the previous issue where she encounters the Joker and stuff, that's just a hard one to top. You know, this was entertaining. It was good. I like it when titles feel they've got the opportunity to kind of reassert things and just kind of have a breather issue, if you will. Not filler, but just here's what the character does when they're not in the thick of their major adventures. And just take care of some kind of housekeeping and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not a regular reader of this comic, but it sells 3 or 4 times better than the stuff that I really love. So every once in a while I have to check back in and see, well, maybe I'll give it another try. What am I missing here? And, you know, she's a very attractively drawn character. She doesn't wear a lot of clothes. And she has a couple of page dialogue about her butt in this one. So I could see the appeal. But, yeah, it's a very lightweight title. And this one was fun. And I didn't really feel like, even though they're coming off of a major arc that I did not participate in, I didn't feel like I missed a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, so that was what we just finished. Now we're going to, it actually felt very familiar to the book when it started, because it felt like they were just kind of going back to Coney Island, just like they did in the original launch. And it really felt very comfortable for me as a lapsed reader.
Well, and I think that was the intent, to get something to where somebody can get back into the book if they skipped an arc or two and ease into it, without it being the brand new major opening of a new story arc or something like that. Again, more of a quiet moment, I don't say a pivot point for a title, but frequently when other titles have done it, sometimes they then go launch in a bold new direction or whatever. And this was billed as a new era in Harley's life beginning. But I felt it was more, again, sort of a repositioning thing without radical changes or something like that. And I liked it, but I think it's, I don't say atypical of the book, it's of the quality of the title, but it was a little less focused and didn't have kind of the major through line or major ongoing plot or whatever that I think the title often has.
Was kind of hoping we'd have a little more screen time with Red Tool. I'd heard that there's going to be a new character introduced, and we got a couple of panels, and was hoping for a little bit more. So this is like the Hulk 180 to next issue's Hulk 181, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this he's on the last page, really, and that's it. So kind of a teaser for him. I frankly didn't think much of him because we didn't get much of him. I don't know if this is kind of their attempt at a Deadpool kind of a character or what.
That'd be my guess, yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. But, you know, we'll find out next issue. For me, this was, again, I don't say a shallow issue or something like that, but it didn't have the major plot points or just the wow, this is amazing. It was good in service of the overall title, but again, I really enjoyed the previous issue better. It is a lot of fun. It's well drawn, well written. For me, it's a B minus. If I hadn't been liking the title overall, I think my rating would have been lower. Because if it was something that I was just kind of ho-hum with to begin, and I felt, well, geez, not much happened or whatever, or it was just a repositioning issue, something like that, that would have really bummed me out. For this character, though, given she's all over the place and what they've been doing, I think spending an occasional issue like this, reasserting, here's what her status quo is, and making her accessible is a smart move. Because this is probably the third best-selling ongoing title at DC behind Batman and Justice League. So for me, I'm going with a B minus.
Yeah, I have the exact same score, and it was surprising. I thought it was really fun. It was a fun book for what it was. And you know, I think if you handed this to somebody, it'd be a great jumping on point for someone. And I can see why someone would want to keep reading this. There were promises of an all-girl shower scene at some point, I think, halfway through that. So, I mean, that would keep you coming back as well. So there's a lot of cheesecake in here to enjoy if you like that. And if you're a fan of Harley Quinn and want to get excited about the upcoming Suicide Squad movie, because those trailers have been out and they look really good, I could see this you going to check this out and sticking around because it is so much fun. So solid B minus.
Well, and I think retooling her look just a little to be more in line with the movie and stuff makes sense. Just keep the character as accessible to the big audience that the movie may have. Just, again, smart move. And didn't feel like a radical change
and
to
it the wasn't, character. It, and it didn't just happen. It actually happened organically in the story, at least. And it didn't just you turn the page and, oh, different hairstyle. And they just referred to it. You actually saw what caused the makeover. I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, and it worked in a way that without the movie, they could have done the exact same thing and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
So very organic and integrated into the story, which I appreciated as well.
Yeah.
Shall we move over to our Marvel book?
Sure.
This is Hyperion number 1. This is written by Chuck Wendig and Nick Ferrella is the artist. For those who are not familiar with the character, it's essentially Marvel's Superman. He's been hanging out with the Avengers for a couple of years. They've been multiple different versions of the character, going all the way back to the Squadron Sinister back originally in the Avengers around 87 or 8, maybe. I could be totally off on that issue number, though. Where they were essentially an evil Justice League that the Avengers fought. And then they've come back a couple of times, including a really great 12-issue series in the 80s by Mark Gruenwald of Squadron Supreme, where it's what if the Justice League took over the world. And then again, more recently, this version. Here he's basically a truck driver and picks up a hitchhiker or whatever, Doll, I believe is her name. Although I'm not entirely sure they give us that in the issue. I know I got it from the, no, they do. They do.
No, yep, she refers to herself as Doll, introduces herself that way.
I got a lot of questions out of this issue. You know, who is she? How did she know Mark was going to be at that particular truck stop? How did she know he was Hyperion? Why should we care about any of that? On the one hand, I liked aspects of this issue a lot, but I didn't feel we really got to know Doll, Hyperion, what the heck's going on with the events here, why this group is chasing Doll. It just it didn't give me a good sense of the tone, the style, or where the title is going.
I definitely applaud the creator's restraint, because it would have been very easy to throw that chase scene and battle scene at the beginning and then say 48 hours earlier or 24 hours earlier. And I applaud them for telling a linear story. It's the first issue. Let's just start at the beginning of our story and tell it and let it unwind. We're not going to answer all the questions. This is definitely the first chapter, and we're just getting to know everyone, really. And I think that's okay in a first issue. I think that they did what I kind of want from more first issues, which actually feels like it's at the beginning. We're all on the same page.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that, and your point about them telling the story linearly versus starting with the big chase or whatever.
Which we see so often.
Oh, absolutely. I agree that was a good move. I just didn't feel like we really got much time or much... we didn't really get to know these characters. Yeah, I have no idea what's motivating any of this.
Yeah, why does he not want to be who he is? Why is he hiding as a trucker? We don't know. How did she nail who he was? We don't know. Why is she really good with machines? What are they doing to her at the circus? I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions.
Well, when she says she's good with machines, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, I know.
Is she just a good mechanic? Does she have powers of some sort?
It seems like she is able to do something with these machines that makes them spectacular. But we just get a glimpse of that, and not even really, just a mention.
Yeah, I wanted to like this more than I did. I felt it was kind of a decent roller coaster ride, but really not a strong springboard at all for this series. What I got here wasn't bad, but it just left me so wanting in so many areas of, you know, I the storytelling was clear. I get what's going on. I just don't get any of the why or why I should care. And this is something that may read much better in trade, when you get that entire first arc and you get the oh, that's what's going on. But in this issue, I didn't get that. And for $3.99 cover price, I expect more than we got.
I really thought it performed well as an introductory chapter, an introductory issue, the first issue in this title. I thought that worked. I thought that there was enough on the page to give you what you need to do to make a decision. I really want to find out more about this. I want to stick with this. I like this character. I like the hitchhiker. I like Dahl. I like Hyperion slash Mark, quote unquote. They put that name in quotes like throughout the entire issue.
In most of her captions, yeah.
We get it. We get it. We see what you're doing. I really want to know more about the bad guys. The really interesting set of powers that they have with their the circus people, and the battle just beginning. So I want to see how that battle plays out. So I thought it propelled me very well into the next issue. Did a really good job. Didn't fall on any writing crutches that we've seen so many times. So I was really pleasantly surprised with it, and I gave it a B.
Interesting. It sounds, though, like a lot of what you liked was almost the story that wasn't told versus what was there, because you're talking about wanting to learn more about this, that, and the other, whereas, while that worked for you, that didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, different expectations, different people wanting different things out of the issue. I totally get that. This is one where I expect my enjoyment of the series will progress as the series progresses, just as I get to learn more about it. I just, again, came away wanting in so many areas, and again, didn't dislike anything in the issue, but really, it's like, again, what's going on? I had so many questions. What's going on with mm-hmm. this? What do they mean by that? And felt they teased and didn't deliver. So for me, I'm going with a C+. I have hopes that, again, this will go much higher up in my rating as issues go on, but it felt so much like it was written for the trade, not for the issue. Which, again, nothing unique to this title. That's incredibly commonplace. But it was just in a way that this particular issue just didn't particularly gel with me, excite me, or, you know, if I had to drop books right now based solely on that first issue, this is a completely droppable book for me.
Okay.
Fortunately, I'm not in that position.
Now, do we know Chuck Wendig or Nick Ferrella from other things, the creators on this?
those names don't ring any bells, but I'm really bad with names of creators.
I don't recognize them.
I would have to look them up. And no doubt there is somebody listening to this. I'm going to say right now, but I mean once I've edited it, posted it, and so forth. So in a good couple of days, there's somebody listening to it, quote unquote, right now, thinking, oh, but John, you've read all of these things. Mike Myers is actually really good on pointing those things out. Because, again, I suck at remembering creators and such.
Yeah, but I can usually recognize them, and I don't recognize those names.
Art style didn't ring any bells. The writing style and name, yeah, they could be brand new. In the solicit, there's no indication of previous work that they've done.
Yeah.
But that's, again, not unusual for the solicit. So, again, that one seemed to work better for you than for me, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we move on to our other book of the week?
Sure.
This is Doctor Who, the Fourth Doctor, or New Adventures with the Fourth Doctor, Doctor Who, or, you know, take your pick as to, is Doctor Who the Fourth Doctor? It's just the way they put it on the cover, so confusing. We've talked about the 12th Doctor, the 11th Doctor, the 10th Doctor, I think maybe the 9th Doctor, possibly the 8th, he's had a book, now we get the 4th. I'm a fan of the new Doctor Who series. I love it. I think it's great. But I haven't watched all that much of the earlier Doctor Who stuff before it went on that hiatus.
And this is the only Doctor that I've ever seen.
Really? Okay, so we're going to have very
Baker is my only Doctor that I've ever watched, yes.
Okay, we're going to have different baggage on this. That's great. I'm probably more familiar with Sarah Jane than this Doctor. I'm aware of this Doctor, but would be hard-pressed to name any one of his arcs I've really watched. I've seen him in, like, the one of the things that had the four or the five original Doctors all teamed up or whatever. But having watched all the Sarah Jane adventures and all of her stuff in the later Doctor Who stuff, I know kind of the elder Sarah Jane versus the younger one that we've got here.
It was a young Drew that watched Doctor Who because he didn't have cable. So it was a long time ago. So I can't bring you a lot of plot points from some of those early issues, but I do remember watching them on a Friday night or something when I was a kid.
Watching and presumably enjoying.
Yeah, probably.
That's how much you remember. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Great theme song.
Hard to go wrong. You never have to excuse or rationalize watching Doctor Who of any version. Again, classic series, everything from the sets, the music, the writing, everything. This read like a Doctor Who story to me, with the right tone, style, pacing. Again, can't speak to that era of Doctor Who particularly, but just what I've come to expect. The dialogue felt right. Clearly the writer and the creative team, they're Doctor Who fans. Gee, big surprise there. If you've got a licensed title and you don't hire fans of the license to do the title, what the hell? I mean, come on. I felt we got a very solid chunk of story. It ended on a good moment with kind of a reveal or cliffhanger sort of a thing. It felt fairly substantial in terms of the amount of story and content we got. The art, man, overall I thought it was solid. There were a couple of places where it was just amazing, really blew me away. There were a couple of places where the likeness of the Doctor was just looked so lifelike. It was incredible. At one point, he is talking with the old guy, Professor James, and there's this one panel, second panel on a page, where they're shaking hands or whatever. And the Doctor, I mean, if that wasn't photo-referenced in some way, shape, or form, I would be amazed, because it looks very photorealistic. Whereas the Doctor is clearly just a comic book character, if you know what I mean. And he feels more like a traditional comic character that's drawn versus one where the artist had a particular reference point of, oh, this is exactly what this dude looks like for the Doctor. And again, the panel, the two panels below with the Doctor, the rendering in there was amazing, but almost felt a little bit more realistic than the original to this issue character, or what I assume are original to this issue characters. So there was I don't say a love-hate aspect of the art, because I love the art, but it was one of those where that one panel with the guys shaking hand almost felt like a Forrest Gump thing,
mm-hmm.
where they'd kind of almost photoshopped an actor in with just other people. Again, the art told the story well, and in some places was just really well done. Other places, it was just all right.
Yeah, it felt to me like it was very referenced, and they were just dead eyes in a lot of these, and him staring off into space and not in the actual direction of the people he should have been talking to in the book. I didn't care for the other renderings that much either. I thought the art was below average. And,
really?
Yeah, I didn't care for it. I thought the story was okay. It didn't have any of the... I mean, I think it had attempts at the whimsy and humor that I remember, and but they fell a little flat. There were a couple that kind of landed, but for the most part, I didn't think it had that sense of fun. It was a little by the book, I guess, and it didn't really engage me, actually, because they didn't have a lot of screen time for the doctor. I felt like he wasn't on as much as she was, and I think the book suffered a little bit for that. There was not much that I liked in this one. It was just okay and not even quite that. So for me, it's a little below average at a C-.
Wow, interesting. For me, I'm going with a B+. Again, I really enjoyed the art. I think it apparently worked a lot better for me than for you. Is it heavily referenced? Yeah, no doubt. But in a way that, for me, made it feel like, hey, they're trying to actually do an episode of Doctor Who here. It was also, like I said, a little uneven. Some characters feeling more photorealistic and others less.
As with most licensed properties, I think this is only for fans of the licensed property.
I would agree with that. I totally. If you're not into the license and stuff, which is why I was a little curious how this one would work for me, because... again, this isn't my doctor, if you will. Your point about Sarah Jane getting a bit more screen time than the doctor is totally, I think, a very accurate assessment. For me, that didn't detract. While I don't think the art was as good on her as the doctor, I like the character because I'm more familiar with her than this doctor.
Okay, yeah.
So I think overall, Titan is doing a fantastic job with their licenses, Doctor Who in particular. And this read like a Doctor Who title, as it should, go figure, but it didn't feel redundant with all the other ones they're doing, and given how many they are doing, that's pretty impressive in and of itself, because they've got, you know, the three or four other Doctors going kind of concurrently. We haven't mentioned the creative team, just to do that real quick, Gordon Rennie and Emma Beebe are the writers, and Brian Williamson is the artist. I think they're doing some fun stuff, but this is something that if you like this version of the Doctor, it's going to be more up your alley than if you don't like this version of the Doctor.
Right.
They also had some well-placed ads, like on the back cover, we've got the Fourth Doctor Adventures series 1-6 available to order now from Big Finish and stuff, so they've tapped into some of the right things to advertise for, including the Doctor Who official shop, etc. So they very much know that, obviously and unsurprisingly, Doctor Who fans are going to pick this up. So I thought it was fun. So once again, I am still massively behind on my reading. I have finished February, so I'm slowly catching up. But that means I've got most of March to read. I'm hoping to get a lot read soon. Don't know when, but soon. WonderCon was this past weekend as we record this, 2 weekends ago as people listen to this. DC did some announcements on Rebirth, so I thought it might be fun to talk a little bit about the DC Universe Rebirth stuff. And one of the things I was able to get my hands on was a copy of the DC Comics previews that they're going to have whenever they make it out that covers the April solicits. So I thought we might kind of, and I have not had a chance to do this yet, I thought we might kind of go quickly page by page and just talk about those things a little bit.
Sounds good.
The first thing we've got, of course, is the DC Universe Rebirth number 1, Jeff Johns, Gary Frank, Ivan Rice, Ethan Van Sciver, Phil Hunt, a ton of artists.
Must read. Gotta read this one.
It all begins there.
Yeah.
One of the things I noticed, though, with that is Wonder Woman's in her more classic costume. So I'm not sure what's up with that, and Superman has kind of reached out his hand. I'm not sure who's on the other side of that. So looking forward to it, and let's kind of see what else we've got in here. So Superman Rebirth, we've got Peter DeMasi, Doug Monkey, and Jaime Mendoza.
Yeah, it looks good. I think that looks like a pretty good attempt. I'll give that a shot. especially since it's and the Superman also by Tomasi reteams him with Patrick Gleason, and they had a great run on Batman and Robin, which I really enjoyed. So I think that team could do something with this.
What I find interesting on this is the solicitation blurb. The world needs a Man of Steel, but can Superman protect the world while raising a super son with his wife, Lois Lane? It's now Clark's turn to be Pa Kent and teach his son what it means to be super, but who's hunting Superman's son and why? So this could be the Superman we've been getting as Superman, Lois, and Clark.
That sounds exactly what we're getting.
And what that tells me is we've got this son of Superman, John. Bruce has his son, Damian, as Robin. That may be who the Super Sons are. So, could be interesting. I'm a lot more excited about the Super Sons series than I was just a few moments ago.
And the thing is, hopefully it's not a second Lois and Clark, and they kind of get rid of that whole, well, there's actually another Superman. So, I hope this kind of sticks.
I hope so, and I'm curious what they're doing with the other Superman, yeah. So, next up, we've got Superman number one that continues the Son of Superman storyline. And this is Tomasi and Gleason again. They did Batman and Robin. So, just like we've got Batman and his son over there, we've got Superman and his son. So, they've got a good track record on the father-son stuff. Action Comics, Dan Jurgens on writing, Patrick Zercher on art. Path to Doom. What I find interesting about this one is we've got Lex Luthor in a suit of armor, but he's wearing the S. And there's also a comment about meeting the new Clark Kent. And it action also goes back to its original numbering with this. So I'm really curious where they're going with all of this.
I'll check this out. I'm less interested in this one. Some of the Dan Jurgens stuff that I've read hasn't been to my liking. So maybe I'll just check in on this at 1,000.
Okay, so in about, 43 issues, a couple of years then?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, actually, it may only be 2 years. It's going twice monthly. Who knows? We've also got Chapter 2 of this, because it's twice monthly, all right? Again, the art on some of these things, Michael Janin on the cover looks great. We've got Batman Rebirth, Tom King, Scott Snyder, art cover by Michael Janin.
That was kind of a surprise. I thought Scott Snyder was kind of leaving.
Oh, no.
That one. So I thought he was going to hand the baton off and not stick around. So that was a surprise.
I watched the,
Oh yeah, I guess he is.
That was CBR TV interview that, Jonah did with, Dan Didio and Jim Lee. They've locked Scott Snyder into a, exclusive contract, and I think he's going to be doing All-Star Batman.
Yeah, that's right. I was talking specifically about the Batman title. Mm-hmm. And, I didn't realize that was the Rebirth title that he's on. He's not on the Batman title.
Oh, right. On the regular one, it's just Tom King. You are correct.
Yeah.
But we get Dave Finch on art and stuff.
Is he the one that's really slow?
No, you're thinking Brian Hitch.
Brian Hitch, okay.
He's the only one who's really slow. Finch has been doing a lot of stuff. He seems to be on time, but I could be misremembering that. What's interesting about this cover is we've got two other costume characters there. I really can't make out what the logo is.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
It almost looks like a B on the guy and an R on the girl, but it's like in a Superman kind of diamond sort of a thing. So they've got a new hero in Gotham and who wants to save the city from the Dark Knight. Interesting. And we get, looks like Jim Gordon back with the mustache, the hair, and presumably is a commissioner again. Don't know. So, Detective Comics, we get James Tynion the Fourth, Eddie Barrows on the art. This one, I believe the premise here is Batwoman's going to be kind of the co-star here with Batman, and they're training, spoiler, Red Robin and Cassandra Cain.
Yeah.
And Clayface, who was last seen, I believe, hanging with Batwoman in her title.
Yeah, Tynion is a Scott Snyder protege, and he also likes the long, drawn-out story arcs, so... give it a shot, but I don't know how long I'll stick around.
It looks like kind of a team Batman, though. So, interesting take on it. Also, Red Robin is in a more traditional Robin outfit, and mm-hmm. the logo has the double R for Red Robin. So, that's kind of interesting. The next issue of Detective here, 935, basically just has Batman and Batwoman on it. Yeah, I'm curious where they're going with this. We've got Aquaman Rebirth, Dan Abnett doing the writing, Oscar Jimenez on the art. based on the solicit here, it looks like it may have a political angle to it. Not really a whole lot to go on with either the cover or the solicit there. If we look at the first issue again, this is a twice monthly. It looks like we're getting Black Manta and Ocean Master back. And we're also going to have, it looks like, Tempest, Garth, Mira, and Tula as cast members of the title. So Abnett, and again, Brad Walker, Drew Hennessy this time on the art. Different artists, it looks like, on some of the Rebirth one-shots versus the ongoings. I have noticed, of course, they've got the consistent trade dress at the top with the Peelback DC logo on the left, the issue number, the $2.99 price tag and stuff on the right with the DC Universe Rebirth kind of logo between them.
Yeah, it is definitely a fresh graphic design masthead. I really, I like that.
What I think is going to confuse people is if you flip back to the Aquaman Rebirth, you've got the Aquaman up in that top area, followed by Rebirth beneath it, whereas in the top area of the regular issue, you've got the DC Universe Rebirth and then Aquaman below it. So people may get a little confused as to what's the banner of the marketing push versus the title.
Yeah, which one's really the number one?
Yeah, that's something that could throw some people. For Flash, we've got Joshua Williamson writing, Carmen DiGiannina Domenico. Well, I apologize for butchering that name. This spins out of DC Universe Rebirth, and don't read this until after you've read that. So I won't read this until after I've read that. And then for Flash, same creative team on it. This is another twice monthly. We get Lightning Strikes twice. And this is the 60th anniversary of Barry Allen becoming the Flash. And it looks like we're getting the new Wally West, maybe as Kid Flash. Looks like we got Captain Cold. And it looks like there's some kind of villainous, maybe Flash, Reverse Flash kind of a thing in the background. So, again, could be fun. Going over to Green Lanterns, this is interesting. We're getting the Jessica Cruz Green Lantern from Justice League, as well as Simon Baz. So the two Green Lanterns that have really seen the least amount of screen time are going to be the headliners here. I hadn't seen that coming. Jeff Johns, Sam Humphries writing, Ethan Van Sciver doing the art. Clearly they're putting some of their top guns on this, trying to get this title back up towards the top of the charts. I'm looking forward to that just based on the creative team.
Well, yeah, for the Rebirth issue, but then they lose Jeff Johns.
And Ethan Van Sciver, you're right, on the Green Lanterns number one, just Sam Humphries, and we got Robson Rocha on the art. We've got, again, Jessica Cruz, Simon Baz as the title characters, but we've also got some of the Red Lanterns and Larfleas showing up there. Possibly, I can't tell who that is up in the upper left by the logo. If that's a Guardian? That may be one of the more...
Where's Larfleas?
The orange lantern there, right above Jessica Cruz, below the G, the A. I'm looking at Green Lantern number one, Green Lanterns number one.
Oh, okay.
Not the Rebirth. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
So this may be covering some of the other cores as well. Moving on to Green Arrow Rebirth, Benjamin Percy, Otto Schmidt. We got the goatee coming back. Emerald Archer meets Black Canary for the first time. Interesting. So not sure where they're going with this.
Not going after the CW crowd.
Might be.
Surprised.
This may be... I'm not sure. Because if you look at the Green Arrow issue itself, it still looks like a younger Oliver. It's just going more with the classic goatee look, but there's nothing to say that it couldn't be very similar to the one we're getting. Except he's in...
Yeah, if you roll into
Seattle.
If you roll into the first issue, it's talking about, you know, his fortune. And so he's looks like he's back in charge of the company. And it kind of cuts it back. There's Seattle and all that stuff. I don't know that it's...
I think they're sticking with the continuity they've established in the comic versus adopting the one from the Arrow series. They're bringing in Shadow.
Well, it looks like they're going back in time, too, maybe.
How do you mean?
Maybe.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the goatee, the look, he looks younger.
I think they're bringing back stylistic elements from earlier with the character pre-New 52, but I think the character is the same age, he's just grown the goatee, you know what I mean? In other words, I don't think they're retconning anything.
And this is one I would think they would want to rethink because it was a very poor performing book, And so hopefully it's not just kind of picking up where the last arc left off and just putting a style, slapping a little stylistic change on it and continuing it.
It was doing around 22,000-ish or something last I looked.
Yeah.
So not bottom of the barrel, but certainly
in the danger zone.
Not even quite in the danger zone, but getting close. But certainly could benefit from aligning a bit more with what they've done on TV. And it doesn't seem to be going as much in that direction as I would have expected. But I do think they're trying to embrace some of the past elements of the character. Again, Black Canary and stuff like that. But that also explains why Black Canary is losing her book.
Mm-hmm.
Because between this and Birds of Prey, not really a need.
Yeah. Now we're getting into something I'm excited about. We've got Greg Rucka on Wonder Woman.
Did you read his previous run on Wonder Woman?
How long ago was that?
Many, 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 many years ago.
Then no. But I have read Lazarus. And she's a strong woman, and he does a really good job of writing her. So I'm kind of excited.
He did an amazing run on the Wonder Woman character years back, and one of my favorite issues was guest starred Lois Lane, who'd come to do an interview with Wonder Woman. And at this point, Wonder Woman had embassies around the world. She had a Minotaur as her chef. It was just a very bizarre blend, almost of like West Wing and the Greek pantheon or whatever. He has such a wonderful take on the character. I don't know if we're getting more of the same of that, if they're going in a new direction here. But certainly Rucka writing this character is a huge win for DC. We've got Paulo Sciarra and Liam Sharp on the Rebirth issue, and then Liam Sharp taking over on the monthly stuff. I'm looking forward to this. This is the shot in the arm I think the character needs.
Definitely. And we get a cover by Frank Cho, but boy, it'd be nice to get an ongoing by Frank Cho. But I'll take what I can get.
But Liam Sharp, as I recall, is a really good artist, too.
He's no slouch.
Yeah. Again, putting Geoff Johns back on Green Lantern, Rucka back on Wonder Woman. To me, this is stuff that has happened so long ago in some cases, like Rucka on Wonder Woman. It's going to be new to most readers, and they've got a proven track record for these characters. This is just great moves.
Mm-hmm.
Titans Rebirth, Dan Abnett writing, Brett Booth, Norm Ratman on art. We've got Donna Troy, Arsenal, Garth, Lilith, Nightwing as the original ones. It looks like they're getting the band back together. Again, this is another one spinning out of DC Rebirth, so don't read it until then. Curious as to where they're going with this. The next item we've got, I had seen some art for, but this is really the first time I'm seeing the full cover. This is in the Hanna-Barbera stuff. It's Wacky Raceland number 1.
Ooh, before you go on, there's the classic blue and black Nightwing, not red and black. I like that.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell what costume Troy is wearing there, Donna Troy's wearing. If it's the one she's been seen more recently in, the more Wonder Woman-ish one, or if we're going to get a more classic Wonder Girl one.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just enough of a Starfield-looking thing, but it could just be the glint on the gauntlets for her. So, but yeah. So, Wacky Raceland, this is based on the Wacky Racers stuff, but totally unrecognizably so. It's like a Mad Max version of it.
No idea.
I saw this at first, and I'm like, what have they done to these characters? I may sample the first issue, I may not, I don't know. Then we get the second issues of, like, Scooby-Doo Apocalypse, Future Quest. People, I think, already know about those.
Yeah.
And then we've got the first volume of, I guess it's like a digest or a trade, for the Superhero Girls stuff they're doing. And this is basically what if these characters were all in, I guess, junior high or high school? We've got Wonder Woman, Bumblebee, Katana, Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, Supergirl, Batgirl. I'm curious about this. This just looks like a lot of fun. They're billing this as an original graphic novel, so I guess it hasn't been done before. It's 6 inches by 9 inches, 128 pages, $10. Could be a lot of fun. This is the kind of thing that, as an outreach program, I think is just a great way to get some new readers. Target younger female readers. I think that's a great move. This just looks fun.
Probably not our speed, but yeah, for somebody.
This may be more enjoyable just to myself than, say, I found Gotham Academy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like they're going after that audience in a much more sensible way than Gotham Academy for me. Of course, I've also gotten an email this week where somebody has questioned why I'm so surprised that Gotham Academy is still getting published. Because, well, maybe it's doing great somewhere else, and maybe it is. but I haven't seen evidence of that. Anyways, so that's that. We've also got Teen Titans Earth 1 Volume 2 hardcover. Looks like they may be bringing in a couple of more characters there. Then we get Justice League 51 and 52.
So it looks like Dan Jurgens is handing the reins to Dan Abnett, who will be on the Rebirth team, maybe?
Maybe.
It's weird for them to switch like that.
This looks like it's 51 finishes off an arc, and 52 starts a new one.
A prelude to Titans Rebirth?
It looks like the Justice League 52 is set back in time shortly after the team first started, and Batman's introducing the original Robin to the team.
So when does Titans Rebirth come out? Did it already come? Is it already up? Do we need to go buy it? So it comes out on June 15th. What time? When does this one come out?
Titans Rebirth is June 15th. This other one is June 22nd.
So it's a prelude. A prelude that comes out after it. Okay.
Well, that's a bad plan.
I guess that's all right. I guess. Why don't you call it a prelude? Call it.
Well, they're not. They're calling it Justice League 52.
Call it something else if it's going to come out the week after.
And then we also get Justice League of America 12 in annual number one, all of this by Brian Hitch, continuing off that arc or wherever. Green Lantern's ring's been hacked, new enemy. And then we get a couple other titles that are still continuing, Bloodlines, Cyborg, Constantine. We got Marv Wolfman on Cyborg. That's a good call. Earth 2 Society, Deathstroke.
Another Abnett book? My goodness, he's spread thin.
He's fairly prolific, and some of those were one-shots, though. I don't know how many monthlies he's doing, but that is a concern. And we get the final issue of Red Hood and Arsenal. Legends of Tomorrow continues. So far, Firestorm, Metamorpho, Sugar and Spike, Metal Men, all that continuing. So no new feature there yet. We get the final issue of the Swamp Thing miniseries. We get
so Grayson is still coming out, but yet he's Nightwing in the other book.
Have you gotten in front of me? I haven't seen Grayson yet.
Oh, I thought you were skipping through some of these.
I was just kind of going page by page.
Where'd you stop?
I'm still at Swamp Thing, New Suicide Squad, and all of those.
Swamp Thing has been a pleasant surprise.
I've been underwhelmed by it. It feels very
80s. I had zero expectations, so.
Fair enough.
Been okay.
New Teen Titans Annual, Coming of the Superman, Dark Knight, Grayson Annual. Yeah. That one, I think. Again, that's about to wrap up and get replaced by the Nightwing series, I believe. I could be wrong on that.
But 3 weeks earlier, we have Nightwing in a book already. Yeah. So why would anybody even bother reading this? I mean, 3 weeks after you've read, I don't know why you'd even read this.
Because you like the series? I don't know. It is a good question. Harley Quinn number 29. Harley Quinn's Little Black Book number 4. Harley Quinn and her gang of Harleys. I'm noticing a trend here.
Yeah. Put her out every week.
Hey, if it sells.
Why not? Milk it.
We're still getting Batman Beyond, Poison Ivy, Robinson of Batman, Green Lantern Corps, Edge of Oblivion. Part of why I'm listing some of these off is I don't know when this previews is actually going to hit stores and people who are pre-ordering. I don't think this is coming out when the Diamond previews is coming out. We also get DC Bombshells, Legends of Wonder Woman, Injustice Gods Among Us, Year 5, and, number 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
That, I'm surprised, isn't listed as a final issue. I was thinking that was wrapping up soon. Maybe they're doing an annual.
What, Injustice?
Yeah. I thought usually they've been going about 12 issues.
Yeah, usually 24 digital installments and 12. That's interesting. And
I was thinking this was the final season. One thing I do want to mention, on page 68 of this, we've got Adventures of Supergirl number 3. 1 and 2 were listed as... previews plus items. They've got the 8,000, so Feb 16, 8,236 and 37 were the order codes. So they're available for order now, but never showed up in a previews. Talk about a missed opportunity. That's going to impact negatively the sales of that series that's tying into the TV hit series. I believe, I don't know if it was you or Sam, somebody was asking me if I was reading some of this stuff. And I'm waiting for it to be in print, and apparently it's getting in print sooner than they realized. Somebody dropped the ball on it. That Looney Tunes were Daffy Duck versus a comic artist. That looks like fun. Teen Titans Go, Scooby-Doo, Mad Magazine. Then we get some stuff at the end. These mask sets with a book just don't appeal to me at all.
A lot of hardcovers, a lot of trades.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's, see if there's Bronze Age of Brave and the Bold. Ooh, collects Brave and the Bold 87 to 122. I'll have to think about that one. I love Brave and the Bold. Had some great stuff.
Yeah.
They're finally collecting the Daring New Adventures of Supergirl. We've got the DC art of Gary Frank. First trade of Injustice Gods Among Us Year 4. New Teen Titans Volume 3 is covering when Terra joins the team and such. And looks like it should also include the Judas contract because it covers 28 to 34 and Annual Number 2. So if you haven't read...
That's the fifth volume.
Fifth volume, but if you haven't read Judas Contract, excellent era. Wolfman and Perez, can't go wrong with that. A couple other trades. Then we get into the Vertigo stuff. Nothing really to talk about there at the moment. And
what? Astro City?
Well, yeah, but to me, the Rebirth is, I think, what a lot of people are interested in. That Batwing they've got, though, on page... They don't have a page number here. That just looks... It's like 3 feet long. Who has room for that? It looks amazing. another DC Icons accessory pack for the action figures. A lot of Harley Quinn stuff. Quite a few statues. Ton of stuff. So yeah, I mean, there's...
I expect this to be in tomorrow's previews, right?
We're recording this on the 29th. Previews comes out on the 30th. That means the preview spotlight deadline is going to be April 9th, that Saturday morning. This is not going to be in that previews. They had not... I think it may be another 2 weeks before this gets released.
Really?
Which is part of why I wanted to kind of talk through some of this, if only quickly.
What a disaster.
I don't know that for certain. If that does turn out to be the case, I can possibly post this online. I don't know. I'll have to check on that. This is something I was able to get a hold of. I don't know if I can distribute this beyond, or not.
April for June. That's not what we're getting tomorrow.
It is, but not the DC stuff.
I'd be curious to see what we're actually getting then.
I could be wrong, but I am expecting there to be a, hey, check out the DC previews for this month. And that's what this PDF that we've got in front of us is. I just don't think they've got that to where it'll ship until, second week of April, like after the previews deadline, for the preview spotlight deadline.
Crazy. Is that because they didn't have the creative teams hammered down, or they didn't want it leaked?
I think they didn't want it leaked, but I do not know that for sure.
Wow, that's a disaster.
It's certainly a missed opportunity, as is the late solicits for Adventures of Supergirl.
So instead of waiting for WonderCon, if they would have hopped on a plane and came to C2E2 and announced it, then we could have got this on time.
Or at least a week sooner.
And we could have gotten it live.
But...
You and I.
Again, I think they've ceded C2E2 to Marvel, whereas WonderCon now being in their backyard, I think they were able to have a much bigger show. A force there, I think they had most of their entire creative team there. I saw a photo that seemed to have like 20 so people. I also watched the two-part interview again of Dan Didio and Jim Lee that CBR TV did on YouTube. Very interesting stuff. I think they've realized people aren't talking about their stories. They need to get back to, I don't want to say back to basics, but there was a comment of, you know, Green Lantern shouldn't be this intergalactic villain or something. He should be a hero.
Yeah, you've been pounding that drum for a while.
Have, but the question I have when I hear the higher-ups at DC saying this is, then how did this happen on your watch? So they're saying some of the right stuff. I think they've got some good ideas. I think they've got some great creative teams lined up. Some of the premises sound really good. I've got a lot more excitement about the Rebirth, having just, again, while we recorded, going through this previews for DC than I did otherwise. So I'm hoping to have a lot of submissions for the DC stuff as well as everything else in the upcoming preview spotlight. I want to hear what everyone else is excited about, and yeah.
I am much less excited about them now that we've seen the creative teams. It seems like a lot of rehashing and reshuffling of the same old guys. So I'll be reading some of these at the beginning, but if it's same old song and dance, it's going to be a short leash.
I think a short leash makes sense, to be honest. If they don't deliver and deliver fast, they frankly deserve to lose readers again.
But Mr. Rucka will get a full... a full arc to lose me.
Rucka doesn't need a full arc.
Yeah.
He is, again, big fan of his from Gotham Central, Lazarus, a lot of his work, 52 and stuff. His work on Wonder Woman, I think his previous run was one of the great runs of Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, very excited about that.
When they announced the Snyder All-Star Batman, did they shoot a date on that?
No, not that I am aware of.
Okay.
But they signed Snyder to an exclusive and Amanda Connor, I believe, and possibly two or three other people. So I think DC's trying to lock in some top talent, get them on the books, and get people excited about their stuff again.
Yeah.
So it's a good sign.
We shall see.
So again, preview spotlight deadline is Saturday morning, April 9th. By the time this goes up, we will have already had the teleconference on the 2nd. If that goes well, we'll do another one next month.
Yeah.
So anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
Hey, that'll do it for me.
Cool.
Join us next week as we discuss Batman and Robin Eternal number 26 from DC, X-Men 92 number 1 from Marvel, and Power Lines number 1 from Image Comics.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.